Okay, 18. Outside professional reports. Harvey, anything?
What happened to staff report?
I'm letting catch up on her notes.
I'll report on one thing that may be of interest to you, and that's a case that came down about 10 days ago out of the Court of Appeals in San Francisco in a case called Protect Our Benefits. After the Great Recession, as you know, there was a lot of so-called pension reform legislation passed, both obviously PEPRA, it was one at the state level. A lot of cities and counties passed changes in their pension laws, and most all of them were challenged in court. This is another one. This was San Francisco passed an ordinance in 2011 that basically said, you know, when we promised supplemental COLA to our retirees, we did it at a time when we had excess earnings, so-called, in the system, surplus earnings in the system. And it was never meant to pay supplemental COLA benefits to retirees when we were in a big deficit period. So San Francisco passed an ordinance that said, going forward, we're only going to give supplemental COLAs in years that we make a lot. We beat our bogey, essentially. It was challenged by a group called Protect Our Benefits retirees who claimed, no surprise, that when they had earned, the law was at the time that they were employees, that they had earned the right to supplemental COLAs, and that this was a legislative takeaway in violation of their vested rights. My former partner, Judge Richard Kramer, ruled against them in the trial court and said, no, I'm looking back at the original intent of this, and it was meant to be only granted during bonus years. Went up to the Court of Appeals, the same Court of Appeals that's going to be hearing our AB 197 appeal, different division of the court. And 10 days ago, the Court of Appeals overturned that ruling and said that no, the retirees had a vested right to supplemental COLA. It could not be taken away without giving them some comparable advantage in exchange. No comparable advantage was given, and therefore it was a violation of their vested pension rights. So with all the importance is that just like in San Diego and in Los Angeles and in San Jose, all of the major charter cities in the state of California passed so-called pension reform measures through their city councils and county councils after, you know, to address the underfunding of their systems, just like PEPRA. And in every instance, the financial terms have now been overturned by courts of appeal, or by court, trial court. San Jose is going to the Court of Appeals. You know, our AB 197 case is going to the Court of Appeal in San Francisco and Los Angeles. All the retiree medical cases that have changed, where they froze retiree medical subsidies, all the trial courts have ruled that that violated members' vested rights. They're all up on appeal now. So you're seeing a judicial reaction upholding vested rights of members to the state of the law that they were in when they were in employment that cannot be abrogated by later city council or county boards of supervisors or the state legislature. So it's an interesting lesson. If you want to take away anything from this, the place to deal with these issues, in my opinion, is at the bargaining table, because the legislative approach is turning out to be a hollow victory for proponents of reining in the costs of pensions that have been promised. And the courts are having no problem upholding what you've heard called this California rule, upholding the idea that members have vested rights to what has been promised them in both pension and retiree health care during service, and that the courts are upholding 70 years of precedent on this without blinking. There's no issue about it.
AB 197, the sheriff's thing, when it goes to the appeals court, there's a chance that it might vote in favor of...
There's a chance. It's a unique case because the core of the AB 197 case is not what was promised, but whether there was any legal right to promise it in the first place. The vacation cash, yeah, terminal pay mostly.
Terminal pay.
And so that's going to be an interesting issue. But these reforms that have been passing, especially at the local level, have all been shot down in the court system.
With that kind of a clear-cut trend, what was the trial judge hanging his hat on?
He was reading the legislative history of supplemental COLAs differently than the Court of Appeals. He was looking at different... He was finding statements from people who were there at the time saying what they intended and what they meant by the law at the time. He was looking at that and saying, well, it looks like it was always intended only to be given in years of surplus. And the Court of Appeals looked at the same legislative history and said, no, we absolutely disagree. It was a unanimous decision.
Lobbyists and stuff.
Lobbyists, yes. You know what kind of witnesses those guys are.
Those kind of people. Yeah. But it's interesting, and it is current, and the California rule is alive and living in the state of California.
That clears that up for me.
Kurt, any staff reports?
Yes, I have two things. About a month ago, we received a letter from the Rodeo Hercules fire chief asking us to ask the board to re-amortize their unfunded liability so that they can have a lower contribution rate. The reason was that in the next fiscal year, they simply won't have enough cash. And we talked it over internally, and Harvey and Siegel, and our next step we took was to reply to them and say, okay, we need more information about your financial situation. And the letter was from the fire chief, so we said, you know, can you have your board make this request? And at their board meeting later today, it's on the consent calendar to adopt the resolution and to authorize the fire chief to make that request, so you'll be seeing that. In the next month or two. And the other thing was the website. So the next step in the website is the website designers have put together a kind of a survey that we are going to notify stakeholders by email that there's this survey they can fill out about what they want in a website or what they look for, what they use it for. So we were going to have that survey sent to the board members. So you can expect to see that later this week as well. You're just going to click on a link, and it's going to be mostly multiple choice kind of thing where you say what's important, what isn't, and make some comments, and if you could fill that out quickly so that we can move on.
When should we see it?
Probably as soon as I go back and tell them to send it.
Today.
It could be today or tomorrow, yeah.
This week?
Yes.
All right.
I'd like to thank Kurt for heading up the website project.
I'm excited.
Very excited.
Great.
Finally.
Yes.
Tell me about it. Raleigh, anything else?
I think one of the things I reviewed with Gail is a standard and practices guide. Gone through the first edit, and it's really a document that can be used for reference by staff and management in how we go about developing procedures and then collecting and codifying the ones that we currently have. So that's an ongoing project this year, is actually to take everything, put it into one place, and apply those standards. So once I make the final edits, they'll be going back to senior management for review, and then that'll be distributed to the rest of the managers and coordinators for comment, and then eventually implementation. So.
Tim, anything?
A couple quick things. We executed the wards contract as of April 1st, so we're fully on board with them. We're doing data transfers right now, getting them set up. It looks like we were able to port all the historic performance data over quickly, so there's still a couple cleanup items there, but once Ward says, assured me that the data has been transferred fully, we'll go ahead and formally notify Milliman of the termination, and we have a 60-day wind-down with Milliman at that point. We're going to have PIMCO come in and present kind of a little bit of a postmortem on what's going on organizationally on the May 6th meeting, so they'll give you the update at that point in time on what's going on personnel-wise. They'll touch on performance, but this is really more of an organizational update. And
excuse me, I thought I would not forget the numbers, but the number of the continuing total outflow of total returns?
Daunting. Pardon me?
Gives new meaning to the word daunting. It was just unbelievable outflows and continues, apparently. Total return fund is
staggering. It continues to be negative. Amounts. It's winding down month by month, the degree of negativity. But yeah, I would imagine it will remain negative for the remainder of the year at least.
Yeah.
But for, just remember, when you see those numbers, we have protected our assets from the mutual fund base.
Yeah, no, so, I know. Just, the bleeding is not done.
The bleeding is not done by any stretch of the imagination, but there's nothing stamped. It's a very large firm at the end of the day. At the other thing on the May 6th agenda is we're going to have Ed Hoffman here, as I mentioned. He's going to come in and talk to the board about the survey that they're going to do of the board on enterprise risk tolerance, what's important to you as individual trustees, what are you missing from the reporting structure, from your concerns about the asset exposures, et cetera. So he's going to come in and talk about that. They'll launch that survey on a one-on-one basis over the course of May and June, and then the second meeting in May will be the bigger ramp-up, hopefully a quarterly review and a couple other items.
It should be noted that as Kurt comes out of the witness protection program, I now notice Tim's going into it.
Yeah.
It's the fashion, Jerry.
Whatever. Yours is disappearing and his is growing out.
It's coming back. It's coming back. Yeah. I only shaved it so that my I would look like my passport photo, but it's over, so
it looked like Thor Heyerdahl. Did I date myself too badly on that one? Yeah. Kon-Tiki fame? Never mind.
Yeah.
Well, when we start to get a couple of board members who have full beards, then I'll know that we've actually couldn't have accomplished something here in France.
You missed it. I had it 5 years ago.
Well, bring it back.
We'll tell Candace you said that, too.
That's it.
Vicki, anything?
Just in the middle of our audit. We had our auditors here the week before last.
Brown Armstrong.
Just busy wrapping up our year end and dropping the numbers on the CAFR, getting CAFR ready. We submitted our 1099 transmission successfully March 31st to the IRS.
You're retraining a whole new audit team?
And
we've got some new players this year.
And
we have a new manager.
And
to date, no findings, but.
And?
Well.
And? Well. What's your office say? Well. Happy birthday.
No,
she just leaves it out there.
A well decorated and documented event.
No further comment.
Yeah.
It's today or 30th.
That was actually in February.
Yeah, it was.
Ready for next year.
Christina, anything?
As Gail mentioned previously, we did issue an RFP for property management, and on Friday we received two responses that were reviewed.
That you're viewing?
Reviewing.
I'm sorry. Just to see if they meet the initial qualifications.
Okay. Good. And Karen has some good news.
I have a report to make to the board as required by the Brown Act. In closed session on March 11th, 2015, the board agreed to enter into a final and binding agreement to settle legal claims as follows. In October 2014, Cicera first discovered that it may have been incorrectly paying a spousal continuance allowance to Penelope Brault, contrary to a section of law that requires that the spouse attain the age of 55 on or before the death of the retired member's death in order to be eligible for the spousal continuance. And that's found in Government Code Section 31760.2. Penelope Brault had not attained the age of 55 on or before the death of her husband, Cicero retired member Ronald Brault, and therefore was not eligible to receive a spousal continuance allowance from Cicero. The total amount of overpayments that Cicero made to Brault without interest was $172,470.68. Cicero terminated Ms. Brault's spousal continuance effective October 31st, 2014. Cicero proceeded to seek recovery of the overpayment and appropriate interest in accordance with governing law and the duly adopted policies of the Cicero board. Ms. Brault disputed Cicero's right to collect the amount that Cicero paid to her in error and interest on those amounts. In recognition of the party's dispute, and in order to avoid the risk, delay, cost, and expense of litigation, the parties have agreed to fully and finally settle all disputes, claims, and controversies between them on this matter. The settlement agreement provides, in summary, that Ms. Brault shall pay Cicero the sum of $100,000 within 30 days of the agreement, and the parties release each other from any and all other claims in this matter. The vote in closed session was as follows. Yes, Allen, Anderson, Gordon, Holcomb, Phillips, Pigeon, who was voting in Hast's absence, Rodriguez, Smithy, Tellis, and Watts. There were no no votes and no abstentions. And as I mentioned, Mr. Hast was absent. That's all I have.
Okay. Gail, anything? Or did they cover everything for you?
They covered a lot of things, but we are going to be coming back at the May 6th meeting with an update on some retirement data as well as disability retirement data, just information for the board. Usually get the disability retirement in the first or second quarter. And then in the budget package is usually the retirement data. This time around, I thought I'd incorporate it all into one report. So you'll be seeing that on May 6th. Also, we are working on planning our first Cicero employee picnic for sometime in June or July. So folks are very excited about that. That's all I have to report.
So no date yet?
No date yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It hasn't been announced to staff yet.
Rusty wants to get started on the macaroni salad.
What do we got? Trustee comments? Nothing? Everybody's all talked out, worn out?
Tired. Some of us attended the Pension Bridge Conference yesterday in San Francisco. Well attended, well packed. And embodies that in the items on the agenda. I mean, it was just boom, 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 one after another. But learned a lot from it, and I would highly recommend to everyone to attend it next year.
And it's really convenient. It's right off of BART.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really, it's a good one.
Okay.
There's a, I mentioned last time, anybody wants to give me any ideas, questions, anything about SACRS if I get elected? Use help and ideas.
I heard you weren't going.
Yeah. Never take it for granted. There's nothing running against me. But they would appreciate it. If anybody has any concerns or anything, let me know.
Okay. Have you gotten any idea of how the other 37 Act counties are going to vote?
I heard secondhand that Eves thinks there's 14 for him and 6 for the John Kelly. I heard that secondhand, but it came directly from him.
He's probably right.
Okay. If there's nothing else, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
We're
okay.
Sure. There's cookies left. Don't leave.
Awesome.
Don't leave hungry.